Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
A texter wants to know if the parents know that Strebel sits with their kids at lunch.
And James Strebel.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure the kids, I don't sit with them. I sit in the same cafeteria as them, but I'm sure they go home and tell their parents.
They can't like that. Again,
it is what it is. I'm not changing. I'm sitting at that table and I'm eating my sandwich and my hummus and my crackers. That's what I'm doing.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Texter says, I'm not knocking David. I just really didn't know who he was. He was a good guest. Thank you, Texter. He was. Sorry. Whenever you throw an expletive in a text, I immediately just think it's bad. But no.
We're very defensive with the text line.
Yes, yeah. We are. I've become very guarded when it comes to the text line. But no, David Sisk was a great guest. Let me tell you about Louisville women's basketball versus Drake. Jeff Walls and the Cards are in the NCAA tournament. And first up is Drake on Saturday in round one. You have 7 p.m. That's the network pregame show. 7:30 p.m. That's play-by-play with our guy, Nick Curran. And then 10 p.m. or so, you have the YMCA postgame show with Dave Skull and Chrissy Banta. And while our guy Justin Sofro gets our next guest on the line, is John Rook. He is the voice of the Friars and also the radio voice of the New England Patriots. There is some controversy in the NCAA tournament right now as Pittsburgh is blowing out Iowa State 19-2. What's the controversy, you ask? Well, before the game, Pittsburgh got to warm up, while Iowa State had to watch people climb a ladder and fix the rim that they were supposed to warm up on. So they didn't get to warm up as much as Pittsburgh. And right now, Pittsburgh is just running away. I don't know if that is really the reason why Pitt's up by 17. But if I was an Iowa State fan,
time now for the tape. I would, Andy Sweeney.
You like Louisville radio.
I love it. Sorry, John Rook.
I know you have.
I listen to all these podcasts.
I don't know why this fired.
It live,
but it did.
Oh boy.
All right, there it goes. It's gone now. But anyway, if I was an Iowa State fan.
That was odd. Sorry, I don't know why that happened.
Yeah, you didn't touch anything.
It got stuck on pod two. That was weird.
All right, well, let's not waste his time anymore because he's got a job to do. We have John Rook, who covers the Providence Friars. He's the voice of the Providence Friars, and he's the radio voice of the New England Patriots. John, good afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us and being a part of our show today.
Guys, how are you? Nice to hear from you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, doing great. Thank you, man. How are things in Greensboro? What's the mood there? Have you seen some practices? There are these rumors, John, of this really, really locked-in Providence practice yesterday. Can you tell us anything about that and how the Friars are amped up for this game tonight against Kentucky?
You know, in all honesty, I think that these guys are, they're disappointed in themselves over the last 3 weeks of the season. They haven't played much defense. The offense has been lackluster. There's probably several reasons, and all of them probably have a little bit of truth to them as to why that's probably happened. I'm not sure it's anything more than just the normal ups and downs, the waves that you ride through the course of a basketball season. And I think these guys are kind of anxious to prove that they belong here. It just so happens they drew the Kentucky Wildcats, you know, as a first round opponent. But, you know, I actually think the two teams match up pretty well. So we'll see how it goes. But I would imagine I'd be very disappointed if you didn't see a lot of effort. I don't know if you'll see a lot of great play, but I definitely think you'll see some effort from those guys.
John, what happened with this team? I mean, they were one of the hottest teams in the Big East, and you mentioned it. They've struggled down the stretch, and, you know, Kentucky has too. They're not absolved from any of this. But they were. There was a point where they were, you know, not a favorite to win the Big East, maybe, but they were a threat to win the Big East. Bryce Hopkins was in the conversation of Big East Player of the Year. He still had a fine year, but his numbers dropped a little bit. What exactly happened where they just lost seven out of their last eight games, including three in a row, and some of those by sizable margins? What happened with the Friars?
They stopped defending. Pretty simple. They just stopped defending. And as to why, I'm not certain. I think that maybe some of them got into a, you know, well, I got to score mine type of mode, which does happen with teams that aren't, you know, mature really to this point in time. I mean, there's no question that they have, you know, some individual talent, you know, and I think between, you know, Bryce Hopkins and Devin Carter and certainly Noah Locke, who've all been SEC athletes, and I'm not picking on any one of those three guys in particular. I just think it was sort of a collective, like, you know, it's becoming easy to score, and they had to realize that the way that it works best is by really scoring off of your defensive effort. That's something that Ed Cooley has preached since he's been in Providence, and I just think it was just a lack of attention to that sort of detail that caused them to kind of get comfortable in a little bit of a downward spin, and I think we saw some of that correction in the, you know, second-half comeback that they had last week in New York against UConn. I mean, they were the terrific rally. It just came up a little bit short.
John Rook joining us, JR Broadcaster on Twitter. If you want to follow him there, he'll be calling the game for the Providence Friars tonight. Speaking of Ed Cooley, I mean, this is the conversation that the nation is having right now. A lot of the focus with the Friars is not on their upcoming game against Kentucky. The national focus seems to be on Ed Cooley and what he's going to do in regards to the Georgetown Hoya job after the season. Is that affecting this team at all? I know Ed Cooley's said the right things. He said he's concerned about Kentucky. He's concerned about the Friars. But what kind of aura is hanging around this team and Ed Cooley as they prepare for their 7-10 tip-off tonight with the Kentucky Wildcats?
It's been business as usual. I've noticed no difference whatsoever, you know, from the guys, from any of the coaches, anything else. So if you guys know something I don't know, can you let me know?
I don't. That's why I asked you, man. I don't know either. I was like, maybe on the Providence side of things, they've heard whisperings or murmurs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that stuff's going to happen. And I think you guys probably also realize that in this day and age of social media, and especially Twitter, you know, that kind of stuff can kind of get out of hand and even out of control from time to time. And I think a lot of that is probably, you know, the reason behind some of the stuff that you're hearing. Now, does that mean that he won't get contacted? No, it certainly doesn't. He's been contacted, I think, we talked about this not long ago. I think he's been contacted at least three out of the last 4 years by another team, another school, another outside source about potentially other jobs. So if that happens again, I think it'll be like four times in the last 7 years that he's been contacted. So and he just had a contract extension put into place last September. So, I mean, you know, I don't know that, you know, he's angling for more money. I kind of doubt that. I don't know that he's angling for anything other than this is just, hey, you know what, this guy might be a good fit for our school. Let's see what he could do. Now, I would tell you that I'd be amazingly surprised if a school of the stature of Georgetown, you know, which once had a great basketball program and has certainly fallen on hard times, really, largely, for most of the last 20 to 25 years since the days of Allen Iverson, of course, Patrick Ewing, and he was playing before that. But,
right,
you know, for those guys to, you know, reach out to a conference school, you know, without going through quote unquote official channels, that's just not the way you go about doing things. And all I would tell you is what goes around comes around. So, you know, if we're talking about, you know, throwing off all the gloves and forgetting that, you know, the word, you know, collegiality has the word college in it.
Yes.
I'm not sure where we're going as a sport or anything else, but I also know that, and no one's naive enough to know that this is not a major business. It is nowadays and has been for the last several decades with the amount of money that is poured into this business when you have college basketball coaches that are making $3, $4, $5 and up $1 million per year. So, look, if I'm Ed, am I going to listen? Hell yeah. I'd be stupid not to. Does that mean I'm going to go? No, not necessarily, because, you know, frankly, right now, Providence is a better job than Georgetown. It absolutely 100% is. So, you know, you never say never. And I think that's really the attitude that Coach Cooley is struck. You know, never say never, and we'll see how it works. And you have to hope that the current job that you have is probably going to be, and the people that you work with is going to be good enough to keep you happy for some time.
Absolutely. I mean, Ed Cooley is a very, very good college basketball coach. So, yes, you're right. You're going to expect him to be talked about when these jobs open up. And we know all about coaches making big money around here. John Calipari makes $9 million a year. So, yeah, we know about big coach paychecks. Speaking of the Kentucky Wildcats, John Calipari, even though Kentucky has been to their standards the last few seasons, have been down, you know, the 9-16 season. They didn't even make the NCAA tournament that weird COVID year. Last season they had that major upset to St. Peter's as a 2 seed. This year, underachieved, a top 5-ish, 10-ish type season preseason. And they end up out of the top 25, losing to Vanderbilt twice in 9 days. What's the feeling around Providence about playing Kentucky? Is it still like playing one of those teams, even though they've fallen on hard times here recently?
Sure it is. Absolutely. And I don't know who would say anything otherwise. You know, Kentucky has done enough throughout its history to truly, you know, earn the moniker Blue Blood. And I think, you know, it's a challenge. It's a privilege. It's a lot of things because they've done so many things over, you know, decades. They've done so many things right. So, you know, it's a challenge for the kids. You know, it won't just be Bryce Hopkins who's getting up for this opportunity tonight. I think the entire team will be there. And I know when, you know, Kentucky's name was up there and then Providence's name, came up right underneath it on the bracket reveal last Sunday. You know, sure. There was a lot of, you know, high-fiving, like, wow, this is pretty cool. We get a chance to play Kentucky. So, yeah, I don't think Kentucky's recent, you know, doldrums, if you will, matter one whit to any of these guys on this team. This is the challenge they have at hand, and they're probably rather eager to prove that they, you know, belong in the same breath.
John Rook joining us right now. He's the voice of the Providence Friars, radio voice of the New England Patriots, at JR Broadcaster. If you don't follow him on Twitter. A couple more for you, John. We appreciate the time, and then we'll get you out of here. I know you've got a busy evening tonight. Now, we're just talking about Ed Cooley and his job. We follow Rick Pitino around here. Our studio and a lot of our shows are based around the Louisville Cardinals. As you know, Rick Pitino in the tournament with Iona. A lot of murmurings about him, St. John's. There are even some insiders saying that if Ed Cooley, if he does take another job, that Rick Pitino may want to go back to Providence, a place that he has much love for, a place that he really made his mark going to a Final Four. He might return to Providence. What would it be like if Ed Cooley does decide to go to Georgetown, but the consolation prize is Rick Pitino?
Wow. You know what? I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not sure. I think that there are a lot of Friar fans who have long memories, who remember 1987 rather fondly, that would love that. I'd be surprised, and the reason I'd be surprised is because most of the administration around from that time is long gone. So I'm not sure that would be front and center. Mm-hmm. I would also tell you that, you know, from everything I've heard that, you know, Rick Pitino, the job at St. John's, which is now open with Mike Anderson's, you know, firing, I mean, he doesn't have to move from where he lives on Wingfoot to be able to coach that team and that program. And I think that's a huge factor. And I think that there's something, you know, from Rick that, you know, he wouldn't mind sort of returning to New York, especially because he wouldn't have to move. Now, if St. John's were not a factor, I would say that, you know, the whole Rick Pitino coming back to Providence thing would probably have some real, you know, muscle here. But I think just because of St. John's is, you know, presence being in New York. I mean, we remember he coached the Knicks for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, he spent a lot of time under Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, and that's how he got started in the business. I'd be surprised if St. John's were really, you know, if they really want it. And I know Father Brian Shanley at St. John's pretty well from his time as president at Providence. You know, if they're in agreement with each other on the particulars, I'd be hard pressed to see him going any place other than St. John's.
Yeah, I'm with you. We just had a guest on yesterday that he's, you know, he covers Louisville, and he, you know, he knows Rick Pitino. He worked around Rick Pitino, and he is in Albany for the tournament up there. And he was around a lot of Pitino guys, and when you get around Pitino guys, what's going to happen? They're going to talk, and there were just rumors flying everywhere. And Providence was brought up, so I had to ask you about that. All right,
sure, and I think that's. yeah, that's absolutely a legitimate possibility. But I just think because the way where he is situated currently at Iona, that St. John's makes a more logical choice for him because it's the less disruption of his life.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. I think St. John's is the move, but I know how much Providence fans would probably just be elated to see Rupertino. I'm not trying to run Ed Cooley off. I know y'all love Ed Cooley, but it would just be a fun scenario for you guys. All right, two more. John, we'll get you out of here. John Calipari discussed he loves the pineapple, going over to the pineapple in Providence and enjoying some Italian food. What exactly kind of establishment is the pineapple? Apple, and have you ever been there, and is the Italian food really that good?
Yeah, it's some of the best, as far as I'm concerned, it's some of the best on the planet. The pineapple is sort of a hospitality symbol in Rhode Island, and so there's a big archway to the street entrance to a section of Providence called Federal Hill. And okay. Federal Hill is known for, you know, its longtime old school Italian characters, let's say. There was a word that started with M and ends with AFIA that was rather prevalent, you know, through a long time in downtown Providence. Sure. And they were all based in Federal Hill, but the restaurants there are unparalleled, bar none, in terms of Italian food. So he's very accurate when he says he likes to go to the pineapple and go have the best Italian food out there, because in all honesty, and I don't work for the Chamber of Commerce, by the way, but I got to tell you, I've never had a better Italian meal in my life than on Federal Hill.
What's your go-to when you go there? Is there anything specific, like what kind of meal you're looking at? What do you have a favorite?
I am a big fan of chicken marsala.
Okay.
Big fan of marsala. So, and they do it outstandingly there. So a little marsala, maybe a little potato gnocchi, you know, with a little of vodka sauce. I don't know, it just depends on the mood.
Oh, very good. You're making me hungry. That sounds delicious. All right, last one for John Rook. Appreciate the time with us. Your gut tells you what tonight, how you feeling about it. What do you expect out of this game? You don't have to pick a winner. I know you're calling the game on the radio. What's your gut telling you about Wildcats versus Friars tonight?
I would think that we'll know all that we need to know about this game in the opening 10 minutes. That if Providence comes out and they play the way that they unfortunately have played, you know, over the last two or three weeks, where they've gotten off to slow starts and the opposing team has gotten off into, double-digit leads in the first half, that the Friars would be in real trouble. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come back, because they have, and they've shown it. But how big a hole do they dig? If the Friars are right there neck and neck with Kentucky after the first 10 minutes, whether it's a slight lead or even just slightly behind, then I think you'll probably see that maintained throughout the course of the game. And frankly, you know, that a lot of these games come down to just one mistake, one made basket, one free throw, one foul. It just comes down to one little thing. We saw that in the Xavier Kennesaw game here earlier today. So, I think the first 10 minutes probably tell you all that you need to know.
All right. Hey, John, man, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be listening on the call. We'll be watching on TV. And we'll catch up with you down the road, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
No problem at all. Happy to do it, guys. Good to be with you.
All right. Thanks. John Rook there calling the game for the Providence Friars tonight. Justin, I saw your eyes lighting up there.
The Italian food. He said gnocchi correct. He said it all right. He did everything.
Yeah.
He didn't say the Nick Valvano way. He didn't do any of that.
He didn't say gnocchi.
Nick's is it even weirder, and I can't even place it how he does it. But I was like, what is he doing? What's
like
he trying to do?
Gnocchi or something?
Yeah, this is like that, like gnocchi. And I'm like, that's not it. That's not it.
That's not how you say it.
But he was winning me over with the chicken marsala, all the stuff that he's doing. Okay, I need to go up to Providence.
That sounds like your spot, man. I mean, it sounds like whatever the pineapple is there on the hill and all that stuff, it sounds like a place where you would flourish.
Like, no offense, and I usually don't listen to John Calipari because I always viewed him as more Fazoli's Italian.
Sure.
Because it's mainly because I've been so angry with the Familia without the G.
Well, plus,
and I get it, it's for BBN, and they'll never be able to understand why it's the G there.
Right.
So he does it.
Then he's from Pittsburgh, which isn't as traditional of an Italian town as like New York or Providence, which are very traditional when you think of Italians.
It's like me or Nick Valvano.
New Jersey, like you think of those types of places. So I understand where that comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, the food he was saying, all that sounds amazing. I got to get out there. I did a little research, so I guess it looks like it's at least. The actual restaurant's not called the Pineapple, but
it's the area.
Yeah, the area. There's a Pineapple Archway. It's really cool that I think is controversial because
I have no idea.
No, not like controversial, but controversial as in like about the fixture that they have there.
Oh, okay.
Just real quick research. I don't know anything about
it. Right,
but like,
okay.
I don't know,
like, you're doing research,
I don't know
though.
If it's because it looks like, I don't know if it's because it's like what it means, a pineapple.
Right,
you know,
right,
I don't
yes.
know if it's because of that, but yeah. But the Italian restaurant looks cool. It's got the old style. It's all that. I think it's like a John. I'm about to pull it back up. Anyway, it's an Italian name.
Okay.
It's one of my people's names, but the restaurant looks amazing. And yeah, I actually believe John Calipari in this instance, for sure.
It sounds like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to Italian food in Providence. Yeah. He gave you a good recommendation, and I'm glad I brought it up because it made you happy and it made me hungry.
Yeah.
And Calipari's accurate when he talks about his Italian food. All right, let's read some text real quick, and we'll kind of break down what we're thinking here. Texter, Strebel was let down. He thought the pineapple was a swingers joint. Texter, the rig, the pineapple sounds like something you would see, okay, in Nordy C, LMAO, there it is. Absolutely. So,
that's a whole lot of swingers content. A whole
yeah.
lot of swingers.
Yeah, not reading that text. But, yeah, just real quick on the games here before we break a little bit more down here. You have Creighton. They are up 2014 over 11-seeded NC State. We have, Marquette up 51-43 over Vermont. Pretty close game there in the second half, about 12-43 left there. Iowa State has cut the lead. I mean, they were down 19-2, and now that lead has shrunk to 26-17. Cyclones actually scored again, 27-19. So maybe there was something in regards to the them not being able to warm up as long as Pittsburgh. Something that, you know, that we'll probably talk a bit more about next week or even on the postgame show tonight. Something that I saw the other day, Justin, between TJ Walker and Jeff Drummond on Twitter was we talked about and discussed the NIL breakdown and like what players are making. Oscar Tshiebwe was at the top of the list, followed, you know, right behind by TJD. And
Big Osteen.
Big Osteen, and then TJD there right behind him. And the thought process of Oscar still has a year of eligibility, and maybe he's not going to get drafted. If he gets drafted, it'll be second round, won't be guaranteed money, maybe in the G League, maybe overseas, comes back to Kentucky, he may, you know, earn as much or more money than he would professionally, especially if he doesn't make an NBA roster, which no one really expects him to because he's not as athletic, he can't defend those types of players at a high level, let alone an NBA level. So the debate of the return of Oscar for a third year. And whereas last year, BBN was full on, let's go, run it back with Oscar, National Player of the Year, he'll be better, and we'll be national championship contenders. Just looking at some of the conversation and looking at some of the reaction on Twitter, and TJ Walker, you know, he threw out a couple polls back there. You know, would you rather have, you know, next year Oscar Tshiebwe, Onyenso Bradshaw, which would, you know, be the front court for Kentucky. And Onyenso Bradshaw won the vote. And I was a little stunned by that. And it gets into this with Oscar. Unless he makes a run in this NCAA tournament, I think that fans will love the accolades. I think fans will love the attention that Oscar brought to the tournament. And he just seems like a nice, friendly guy, a guy that it's easy to root for. I mean, how many Louisville fans have you heard, Justin? Oh, I hate Kentucky, but I like Oscar. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's,
you
know, certain players, like kind of how Gorgie was.
Yeah, exactly. There's like certain players that you're not going to root for them, but you don't hate them.
Yeah.
You don't wish that bad things happen to them. So with Oscar, there's all of that. But if he doesn't win, that's what matters the most. And one of the main things that this team has missed this season has been a guy to protect the rim, to block shots, to give defenders something to think about. And while Damian Collins has had his chances and not been able to produce for a myriad of reasons, we all know how his season started with tragedy, there are a lot of Kentucky fans that are like, why haven't we seen just a little bit more of Ugonna Onyenso? Especially now. I know his offense and his rebounding aren't what Oscar brings. I won't argue that point because that's right.
Right.
Oscar brings offensively and rebounding more to the table than Ugonan Yinso. But when you have games where pick and roll is killing you, where guards are just taking defenders straight line drives to the basket, and you know Oscar's not going to be able to block those shots, why didn't Onyenso get some more run? Because we haven't seen Justin, I can't remember the last time he's played. I've got to look it up because I don't remember
I'll do it.
Okay, yeah, look up and see last time that Ugonan Onyenso got into a game and played actual minutes. I don't even care if it's 1 minute or 2 minutes. When's the last time he got on the floor for Kentucky? And John Calipari has built this narrative that, you know, he said it selection show Sunday, you know, when Ugonan Yinso comes back next season, he's going to be one of the best bigs in America. And I'm kind of like, okay, coach, based on what? I haven't seen it. You either won't play him or you can't play him, especially when you know the big guy that you have isn't doing his job defensively. All right, go ahead.
He got 3 minutes against Auburn on February 25th.
And before that?
Before that was Texas A&M on January 21st.
Okay.
He had a little bit of a spurt there from the 7th, 14th, 17th, and 21st against Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas A&M. But we're looking at every single time, 1 minute, 2 minute, January. 1 minute, three. He got 11 minutes against Alabama in that just, you know, obliteration. And then, no, I'm not trying to take a shot, but
it was. No, I understand. No, it was. And then, yeah, it was.
He did get 9 minutes against Florida A&M. So,
okay, so Florida A&M, yeah, got 9 minutes when he played the
and
most.
Only
so,
two
yeah.
minutes against Louisville. Like, come on. Like, that's the time to get him some minutes.
Right. Mm. And again, I don't think Ugonan Yinso turns this season around, but it's one of those things like, okay, Cal, if we're, you know, is this one of these players that we just sit on the bench and then next year we watch him play and it's like, wow, where was he last year? And again, maybe he's physically not ready. I don't know. But
is this the Pitino thing? Is he doing the Pitino thing? We're like, there's some players that maybe this guy
right.
needs to sit on the bench and he can learn. And then next year, he'll be the year that I trust him.
Yeah, and that's
I have, you know, I have your Oscar Tshiebwe who you're trusting, but he's
sure.
struggling.
Yeah, but it's just interesting to see how fans reacted with that conversation with Oscar and then bringing a branch on Yinso. It's like, okay, maybe third year Oscar's not what we want. We can move on for that. All right, let's read some text and then we'll get to a break.
Tag for another,
well,
another
exactly,
year
exactly.
That, yeah.
We'll read some text here and then we'll get to a break. We're going to talk U of L next. I promise, Louisville fans, thanks for listening, hanging in. Texture, I'll tell you why, because Cal isn't a good coach. Good in-game coach, and because of how much they paid Oscar to come back, how much more NIL money are they going to put toward Oscar next year? Time to talk about return and investment. I think that's kind of what we're talking about here. Absolutely. Texter, Oscar is too good to not play, but I do think he prevents Cal from doing what he wants to do on offense and on defense. Texter, if UK guards could stay in front of their guy, Oscar wouldn't look as weak on defense. Some of the guards can't stay with their own shadow. That's a good point too. I mean, there are some, you know, Antonio Reese has gotten better defensively, but he's still not good. CJ Frederick just gets cooked constantly, and Casey Wallace is a good defender, but he's injured. He hasn't been as good as he was beginning. Texter, what's a Louisville player that is Riggs Oscar? A Louisville player now that I kind of like, and
is it more like you pity LLS?
Well, that's the thing, is like, I don't really, they're not like good enough to endear myself to. It's like, they're not like Russ Smith was good enough to where it's like, okay, yeah, I don't like him winning, but he's good enough. But like, there aren't really any players on Louisville's team that I like.
The team's been so bad. They haven't
so
had
bad.
A chance
I don't have
to really endear themselves to anybody. Like, there's no access to the locker room, so there's no way to really get to know these players. And they're not really put out there. Like, that's it. They get put out to slaughter a little bit when they get to go out there and crush them and say how bad these players are.
Right.
Now they're the worst things ever. But outside of that, you don't know them.
No, you really don't. I mean, it's been a season where the players, you know, had been on the front end of some berating from fans, but there hasn't been an embracing. Outside of L. Ellis and a little bit of J.J. Trainer, I think, I just think, but more, and we're talking about this more in the next segment, yeah, that Louisville fans are just ready to move on from all of this.
It bothers me so much, and we can talk about that in there, but
sure,
just like you going from the Pitino thing where they're open, so if he makes a criticism,
sure,
you can talk to them. You can get their feeling on that. They're not like behind a wall where they're just being berated, and then they can actually come out and be like, well, here's my opinion. Like, right. Not everybody would say that about Rick, but there's some guys who would say, make some comments.
Sure, absolutely. Russ Smith was very upfront about him and Pitino's back and forth, especially his freshman and sophomore years. All right, let's take a break. On the other end, we're going to break down Louisville, talk about, you know, Sky Clark committing, talk about Trenton Flowers at 5:30, talk about who they have on their roster now, who's already gone, who may be up next for the Cards. You're listening to The Take here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You love Louisville Radio. I love it.
I've fallen in love.
I know you have.
I listen to all these podcasts now. Yeah. Listen to it live. It's like
you don't consume
like
any UK stuff.
And James Strebel.
No, you don't.
You don't consume any.
I was at KSR on the way over so I could listen to Cal. But every once in a while, I'll pop on that KSR podcast.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Kentucky basketball is back in action Friday night in the, oh, no, not the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. And directly following the game is it's the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show. Join me and Jason Entz as we're the first place that will take your calls, texts, and hear live from John Calipari. It's the tournament. We can stream that live. Cal will get some questions. Maybe we'll get some players. Who knows? It's all Friday night around 11 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7 and the ESPN Louisville app. Actually, it won't be 11 p.m. It'll be more like 9:30 p.m., somewhere around there. Texters, keep it coming, 437-9680. Let's see here, some games ongoing right now. We have Marquette. They're blowing out Vermont now, 72-50. Chaka Smart up 22 points over the Catamounts with about 6 minutes to go in that game. NC State and Creighton right now. Creighton up 27-24. Let's see how much time's left in that. About a minute 45 in the first half. And this Pitt game has now become a battle for sure as the Pitt Panthers, they're only up 28-23 after having a 17-point lead. It is about 28.5 seconds to go in the first half. Second half in that game should be lots of fun. So there you go. All right. We talked plenty of Kentucky today for obvious reasons. Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, Louisville not. But look, I mean, one of the things that Louisville fans wanted from Kenny Payne, and that was as soon as this season's over, we want to see movement. And to Kenny Payne's credit, there's been movement. Last week, he locked up Dennis Evans. Last night, he locked up Sky Clark as a transfer. Probably here in about, an hour or so, he will lock up Trenton Flowers as a 2024 player. But
there it is.
Not quite yet, Justin, but I'm sure there'll be some of that.
He won all four, dang it.
He won all four of those games, that's right. But, I mean, the Kenny Payne contingent will definitely be peacocking on Twitter and on Louisville Radio on Monday if Trenton Flowers does commit and then also reclassifies. Because that's a big piece of that. I wonder if he'll talk about that at all. I doubt it. Normally, when that reclassification stuff does occur, they're very hush-hush about it. They have to get their paperwork in line. So I'll be interested to say what Trenton Flowers says about that. We'll carry that about 5:30 here on ESPN 680, 105.7 on The Take. So Sky Clark is added to the team last night. Understand Louisville fans being excited about it. He was a former five-star. He was a Kentucky commit. I mean, he would have been in the class with Cason Wallace and Chris Livingston. But the kid hurt his knee in high school. When he came back, he wasn't as good as he was, which is understandable when the injuries happen in basketball. It's hit or miss whether you come back and you're as good as you were, if there's a slight step back or a big step back. For whatever reason, Sky Clark wasn't able to create those highlight reel moments the way he was as a freshman and a sophomore and a junior in high school. He drops from a 5-star to a 4-star. Kentucky, and look, you Louisville fans, you can say what you want to say. Kentucky told him thanks, but no thanks. It wasn't a situation where Sky Clark was like, yeah, I'm going to decommit from Kentucky. It was a mutual thing between Kentucky and Sky Clark. That's not to say that he's some bum or whatever, but Kentucky did move on from Sky Clark. That's the situation. That's the truth of the situation. You can get mad at me and believe whatever you want to believe,
would
but that's what happened.
Would you take him over Sevier Wheeler right now?
No.
No?
No, okay. No, okay. Absolutely not. No, no.
Well, not, obviously, there's been close. A lot of issues, but if he was playing,
no.
Like, he could be just for the season.
No.
Okay.
I know what I'm getting with Sevier Wheeler for sure, and then what I'm getting from Sky Clark ain't that great. I'm going to go over that here in a second. So Sky Clark ends up with Brad Underwood in Illinois, starts the season off, he only played in, let me see here, let me count the games he played in. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He played in 13 games. He scored in double digits in those 13 games. He scored double digits 4 times. He had 10 points against something called KC. He had 10 points against UCLA in a win for Illinois, 79-70. He had 10 points in that game. He had 19 points against the Linwood Lions. He had 19 points against them, his best game of the season by far. Then his next double-digit output came from Penn State. They lost 74-59 there. He had 11 points, and he played his last game on January 4th against Northwestern in a 73-60 loss where he had only 2 points. So most of his games were 3 points, 7 points, 8 points, 2, 6, 5, 8, 0, 2. So the double-digit outputs were not the norm there, the outlier. For the season, Sky Clark averages 7 points a game, 3.7 rebounds, 2.1 assists. He shot 41% from the field. So as a player, you know, he was a typical freshman. He was a typical freshman. You could see some talent. You could see some flashes. But for whatever reason, it did not work out at Illinois. It was announced earlier in January that he would be taking a leave of absence from the team. And then that leave of absence turned out to be he didn't play again. And to the credit of Illinois and the credit of Brad Underwood, they didn't throw the kid under the bus. They didn't specify what the leave of absence was for, whether that be an injury, mental health reasons. We've seen that a lot in sports here lately with players taking time off for their mental health. I don't know why Sky Clark ended up not leaving the team, but taking the absence and then eventually transferring out. I don't know what the story is there.
You never want to speculate on anything like
sure,
this,
no.
Obviously. But he did kind of like endorse a little bit on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. I doubt you're following Sky Clark, but maybe you are. But he did kind of endorse a guy who tweeted out saying that he had maybe taken off time to look after a family member, like a dad or something like
sure.
that.
Sure, and that's why I'm not going to rip the kid for not being on the team. I don't know.
Anything like this, there's always going to be malicious rumors that are put out there. That
exactly.
Could be true, could be wrong, well, but I don't know.
Look at Sevier Wheeler. I mean, that happened with Kentucky this season. I mean, he had a surgery and an injury, and then people are saying he quit on the team. So, again, you don't know. In a situation, I don't know.
Just tell BB and Billy, though, Sky Clark is 6'3".
He is 6'3". He's a big guard. He has talent. And so the Sky Clark thing, he was rumored to join Louisville last season, if you remember, before he joined Illinois, because he was a former Calipari player, maybe that Kenny Payne had recruited Sky Clark at a young age when he was still on Kentucky staff, that there might still be a relationship there.
Yeah.
But he ended up going to Illinois. So now he's at Louisville. He gives you a point guard / shooting. I mean, he's more of a combo guard. That's what he was in high school. I think that's the role he was playing at Illinois. And so now Kenny Payne has a team, and this is what the team stands as today. Now, this is where it stands today. That's not saying all these guys will be on the team because there's more movements. Right now, this is Louisville's team. And these are a lot of new guys. Caron Davis, transfer from JUCO. Dennis Evans, 5-star recruit. Sky Clark, transfer from Illinois. I went ahead and I threw Trenton Flowers in there because I expect him to commit, so he's going to be a five-star, you know, freshman if he reclassifies.
I feel like you're trying to do the thing. He's going to Louisville, so just in case he decides to pull the rug out.
In case he does, but
It'll be fun. It'll be fun for you.
It would be. 5:30 if Trenton Flowers picks Alabama, you Arkansas, bumps, yeah. I'm going off. Yeah. I'm warning Louisville fans right now. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm 90% sure that Trenton Flowers will say Kenny Payne in the cards, L's up, all that stuff. Yeah. I think that's going to happen, but just so you know, the 10% chance it doesn't happen, I'm coming firing at you. So just be aware. You probably will get to miss out on that, but just in case. All right, so Trenton Flowers, I'm Emmanuel Okorafor, obviously. He's a project from NBA Africa, saw him a little bit this year, which is all Louisville fans like. They probably liked it a little too much, in my opinion. I mean, he's all right. There were games he didn't play in.
So used
he
had to seeing injury. Ineptitude at the center position.
It was exciting
even
to
with
see,
the big man whisper. We have ineptitude at every big man that we have out there. Roosevelt Wheeler can't do anything, and you know nobody can do anything out there. Then Emmanuel Okorafor comes in here and actually can dunk the ball and like doesn't embarrass
and hustles
and doesn't embarrass us. Like if you would have had him at Louisville Live, you at least have a dunk contest with somebody who actually can dunk.
Can dunk
the basketball. Like I should have known at that moment. It just kept going, and I'm like, come on, just one dunk, a simple dunk, just a simple alley, whatever you got to do, just give him that so we can at least like my skin was crawling watching that Louisville Live dunk contest.
Oh, I didn't like, even I see it. Known. I just know that it was bad.
It was awful. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
So, the core four brings at least athleticism and competence and hustle. Okay, so then you're going to get Caleb Glenn. He's going to be a true freshman. Curtis Williams, true freshman. Okay, so those are all the newcomers right now. Here's who's still left over from the previous team. You got Mike James, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, L. Ellis, J.J. Trainer, Jalen Withers, Hersey Miller, and Roosevelt Wheeler. They're still on the team.
Roosevelt Wheeler actually entered the transfer portal today.
Did he really?
Let me confirm.
Yeah,
I
didn't see that, so I need to confirm that before I throw him off the team. So your departures so far have been Fabio Basile, Devin Reese, Sidney Curry, and then there's still guys out there like Churchill Labas, another NBA Africa guy. That you know will come over like Okorafor did, and then Carter Bryant. He's a 2024 kid, top five kid. Like not top five, maybe, but five star kid. That they could also get reclassify. Okay, Justin, you still looking for that? Okay, so right now,
I got it. Sorry, I just wanted. Yeah, Travis Branham tweeted out for other people had said it too, but Travis Branham's our guy. He comes on here.
Yeah,
he tweeted out that Louisville sophomore Roosevelt Wheeler has entered the transfer portal.
Okay, there you go. I missed that today, so he is off my list. So Roosevelt Wheeler,
catch boss.
Yeah, so Roosevelt. Wheeler's off my current list, and he now joins these are the players that he lost that you've lost list. Okay, so I don't think Louisville fans are too broken up about Roosevelt Wheeler not being at Louisville. So right now, as it stands, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 for sure scholarship players. Hersey Miller probably won't be on scholarship, so you've got 12 guys. So that means you're still going to need a few more to go if you want to add Churchill Labas and possibly Carter Bryant. I still think that L. Ellis is gone. I don't think L. Ellis comes back. If he comes back, I'll be shocked. He just didn't talk like a guy that was going to come back.
Yeah, I don't see him coming back at this point. But before, it sounded like it was a good possibility, maybe,
right,
if you throw some money his way. But at this point, it's so toxic here. Like with him, and like, do you want to do another season here?
Yeah,
like especially if you can go make, even if they give you maybe they give you a good paycheck here and that's sure why you can stay or you know do it the clean
well they're gonna NIL. Need some of that NIL money for these these freshman guys. I mean I guarantee Trenton Flowers has some NIL deals. I guarantee that Sky Clark's gonna have some NIL deals. I guarantee Dennis Evans does. I mean some of these big time players are gonna have. I mean you want LL stay around, I'm sure they'd find him a bag somewhere, but I'm gonna count him as gone. I'm gonna count Jalen Withers as gone. Man, I'm torn on Brandon Huntley Hatfield. I don't know where else he could go. I mean, he was such a
bright spots, but
as far as the whole season was concerned, what you expected out of him, how he was talked up around here about top. I mean, he was a five star prospect. I mean, they were even Rummage and Maben did their thing. We're saying they see NBA first rounder in him, and he wasn't even close to that. But so I don't know. I would say to me right now, Justin, if I were a betting man, this is your team next season. I think it's going to be Davis, Evans, Clark, Flowers, Okorafor, Glenn, Williams, James, Trainer, Abbas, And we'll see about Carter Bryant. Yeah, Huntley Hatfield. I'm torn. I'm really torn on him because I don't know what other options he has. Because I think Brandon Huntley Hatfield is interesting in this respect. It's almost like you know what the pedigree is with his star rankings and expectations. And Tennessee's a very good program, which he committed to. Respected program with Rick Barnes. But you almost feel like if he leaves Louisville, he would go down in weight class, don't you think? I mean, I don't think that he'd go to one of these contenders. I don't think he's going to go to a Texas or a Kansas or obviously not Kentucky, a Duke, a North Carolina, someplace like that. I think he'd go to like a Texas Tech.
No, and I think you also only like get that. Like two shots at like a premier program.
Sure, and he had two shots before, at the premier program with Tennessee and Louisville. So he's the one player I don't know what to do with. I expect LL's to go. I expect Jalen Withers to go. So I think that would be Louisville's team. And here's my question. Is that something – I know – take your Kenny Payne angry hat off.
Vitriol. I'll take it
just
out. I'll defuse it.
Just try to defuse it now. Just act like you're not pissed off at the world. If I tell you that's your team, that's who you're rolling with, your thoughts are what?
To me, it's still not enough. Like, to me, I still need like one or two more pieces to feel better. But like even then, my problem with it is, again, and I'm trying to do this from a rational standpoint, and I'm not trying to just go, you know, hate on Kenny Payne or take shots at Kenny Payne.
Sure.
But like, I have evidence from the last season, from everything that how it panned out, the lack of coaching, the ineptitude. Like I said, even like the stuff that I got in here and yelled and screamed with you guys, Andy didn't care about it, and I get why he didn't care about it because everybody else cared about it. But the shoe deals or the shoe issue with the Nike and stuff just shows attention to detail. And it's a small attention to detail that bothers me because that means if they're not doing the smallest thing, like putting on the right kind of shoes, the right brand shoes that you should be wearing.
And they're paid to wear.
What are you doing in coaching? What are you doing in game planning? What are you doing in practice? Bobby V will tell me, go to practice. I haven't been to practice. I want to go to practice to know what they're doing.
I'd love to see you at practice, by the way.
Just me just in the corner, just angrily staring, shaking my head.
At everything Nolan Smith is doing.
Just right at him. Like, Kenny Payne can take a day off. It's just me at Nolan.
You and Nolan.
Like, look at the shoes. I bet he's wearing Nikes.
Just burning holes through each other. Just staring. So, look, I get what you're saying, but let me ask it this way then.
Okay.
Take coaching out of it.
Okay.
Talent-wise, does that excite you?
Here's the reason why. Okay. Partly yes, but no. The reason I say that is this is not year one. This is year two. As much as they want to try to pump out there, that
year
this
one
is,
B.
Yeah, this is. But they don't. You don't. I'm sorry. You don't get a 1A. You don't get a 1B. It's year two.
Right.
You don't get a fresh start. This is not new. Like, I had to sit through this. I have battle scars from this season.
You don't look at them.
Yeah, exactly.
You're scarred. Exactly. Your whole body's scarred.
Everything is not right. Good. So like, I've had to deal with this. You can't tell me that this didn't happen. Just like the NCAA can't say that we didn't win that championship. You can't tell me that this season didn't happen because it did happen, and is historically one of the worst. Actually, I think it is the worst season Louisville basketball has ever had, at least since 1941 or 42 or whatever.
Yeah,
since people were drafted to go to war and whatever. that's the hilarious part to me. It's like
the draft was in effect.
Like I can't speak to that's exactly the reason they were so bad. But the whole time I'm looking at it, I'm like what happened in 1942? Why could they have been? So, oh yeah, every able-bodied man was at war. War.
Right. that's why they were losing every.
But
go ahead.
Sorry, just real quick. That's why my issue is, like, to me, there should be a little bit more talent because this talent's good if you did it last season. Now
you
should have an extra
100%.
Tier of talent to build on top of that.
Listen, Justin, if Kenny Payne would have done this last season and got some of these five-star guys and these transfers and all these other things, I think the conversation is very different. Now, if he would have – I don't think this team – is near as bad as the past team. I don't think this is a 4-win team. The question is, what kind of team are they? How many wins can you expect? We'll have all summer long to talk about that. But I think if Kenny Payne did this when he was supposed to do this, when we were told this was what he was going to do and then he didn't do it, we're talking differently about him. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do win 15 games with this team. Maybe you are flirting with 500 in the ACC with this team. Yeah. And people would understand that. People would have forgiven that. That would have neutered anybody that had the hot takes that Kenny Payne needs to be fired and he's ruining Louisville basketball. If he would have done that the first time, and I don't want to hear about the cloud because everybody knows about Missouri and Kansas State and LSU and some of these other teams that got first-year head coaches that didn't have the talent and didn't have the stars and all these other things.
Have the history
and they also actually don't have the history
or the backing, yeah,
like, right. And Missouri and Kansas State specifically, because they stepped into the job and they did it immediately with, again, not with your shiny products of players that, you know, we're talking about with John Calipari and John Shire and Bill Self. They did it with guys in the transfer portal and guys that hung around. But if Kenny Payne would have done what he's doing right now, there would have been the grace. There would have been the understanding. There would have been like, okay, yeah, coach, that's, we get it. Next year, let's roll to the tournament. I firmly believe that. It might be too little too late. It might be a year too late. But I understand what Louisville fans are doing when they're getting excited about these players, because these were the players that Kenny Payne was supposed to get that we were told he was going to get in the first place. And I don't know how to divvy up the fault here. I don't know how to divvy up the fault is in regards to, was it Kenny Payne's reluctance with NIL? Mm-hmm. Was there a little bit of hangover from Chris Mack? Was there the fact that Kenny Payne saw some of those players were like, oh yeah, I can actually run a team with these guys and be okay. I got them to stay. This will be fine. I'll be able to coach them into good players and coach them into a decent season, and then realizing earlier than he would have liked to that, no, these guys aren't it and I can't do anything with these guys. So, Kenny Payne is going to tell on himself this season where he is doing what the fans want him to do. I'll give Kenny Payne credit here. He's doing exactly what they want him to do.
He's being told to do.
Exactly. Yeah, or being told to do by Josh Hurd. He's expunging the program of the malcontents and the guys that he said aren't allowed to anymore wear the University of Louisville jersey, that don't come from the types of, you know, and these are his words, not mine.
Yeah, that bothers me so much.
I know it does. And I think it bothers a lot, but, you know, they're not from good. These are more of the family guys, the Louisville guys that Kenny Payne's bringing in. So if these guys come and they flop and they flail, then we know it wasn't a talent issue. It wasn't a cloud issue. It wasn't an NIL issue. It was a Kenny Payne issue. So those conversations will go to rest. All right, let's go ahead and we'll take a break. It's 4:57 on the other end. I'll read your text. We'll play some sound. We'll recap, the first segment. We'll talk about Kentucky and Providence. Is ESPN 680-1057.